Sarah Winchester's lifetime spanned the Victorian age. She was born in 1839, 2 years after the teenaged Queen Victoria was crowned, and 80 years later, as death approached, Winchester could have been a Victoria look-alike, a stooped little lady, face veiled, in black silk mourning garb. Like the Queen, she had seen profound personal and societal transformations occur during her lifetime. Winchester's attitudes and tastes were shaped as turbulent religious, aesthetic, and political seas changed America in the years just before and after the Civil War. Winchester was born Sarah Lockwood Pardee in New Haven, Connecticut, at the peak of the Industrial Revolution, and in the same year that the Amistad incident focused worldwide attention on New Haven. At the time, the underpinnings of America's religions were making seismic shifts, and belief systems, such as spiritualism and transcendentalism, entered the mainstream. Sarah was 9 years old when the first Women's Rights Convention was held in Seneca Falls, New York, in 1848. Before her death in 1922, the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution had established women's right to vote. She was witness to and the product of a magnification of women's roles in the world. But despite her financial and apparent social independence, Winchester was not able to live as she wanted. In California, as well as in Connecticut, her days and decisions were highly circumscribed by the boundaries of traditional upper-class womanhood. She developed a sharp intellect, but had no prospects for higher education. She admired clever, time-saving inventions, but her gender and class kept her from engaging in work that was more than a hobby. She often ignored social, religious, and business expectations, but this gave fodder to labels of superstition, religious fanaticism, and mental illness. These judgments, although often rendered against women who ventured beyond the implicit confines of womanly behavior, overwhelmed any personal identity she may otherwise have achieved. When Sarah Pardee married William Wirt Winchester in 1862, he was heir apparent to a large and profitable clothing factory in the center of New Haven. At age 25, William was running the day-to-day operations of the Winchester & Davies shirt manufactory, and there was no question that one day he would carry it to unparalleled production and record profits in New England's garment industry. But within 4 years of his marriage, William had relinquished his partnership and taken on a leading role in a rifle company. His father's aggressive investments in a weapons factory dragged William into this unlikely occupation. The younger Winchester's unexpected conversion from garment maker to gun maker changed the course of his life, as well as his new wife's. The design and manufacture of firearms had undergone a dramatic evolution, almost literally in the Winchester's Connecticut backyard. Eli Whitney, inventor of the labor-saving cotton gin, established the Whitney Arms Company late in the 18th century in Hamden, Sarah's ancestral village. Whitney applied the principles of mass production with interchangeable parts, tactics that the Winchester firm later adopted, to appreciably accelerate the process of weapons production. In the meantime, Samuel Colt of Hartford invented the revolver, a pistol with a revolving barrel, and Horace Smith and Daniel Wesson partnered in developing a repeating pistol called the Volcanic. These sidearms were the immediate precursors of the Winchester, a revolutionary advance from the traditional muzzle-loaded musket. The Winchester was the first financially successful repeating rifle and the most sought-after long arm in the last quarter of the 19th century. It generated great wealth for the Winchester family. Sarah and William Winchester, together with William's parents, built a palatial home on the outskirts of New Haven overlooking the new Winchester Repeating Arms Company factory. From 1868, when they took occupancy of the new mansion, until 1880, the couple lived in high style and traveled together, and William devoted himself to his father's rifle factory, which he planned to take over one day.